Yeah, the young kids can go on down. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read these last few verses here. last week we finished up in verse 10. Verse 10 is where we finished up. And the point of verse 10 there is this right here. There's a point of what you're going through. And God said this. He said you're going to go through some things. And the book of 1 Peter here that we've talked about, it's a book of suffering. And teaching you that you're supposed to suffer. Teaching you that that you're going to go through some things. And that life's going to be hard. And that you might as well get ready for it, because that's just the way it goes. And he goes through there, but he tells you not to suffer just because of the flesh, because of things you do yourself that's wrong or messed up. He tells you over there, look in chapter 4, look at verse 15. He says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." And so what he does is he goes through there and he tells you this. He says, listen, you're going to suffer. And you might as well get ready for it. You're going to live for God. You're going to get in the neck. You're going to live for God. There's some things that's going to happen that you're going to go through. Life's going to be rough on you sometimes, and you're going to suffer. But he turns right around and he says this. He says, but don't make it any worse than what it needs to be. You know, don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as a busybody, as an evildoer. Don't suffer because of things that you're just bringing on yourself. And you're going to have enough that you're going to have to go through because you're a Christian. And you might as well not add anything to it. Don't add any of the afflictions to yourself. Just sit down there. Try to live right. Try to confess your sins and live as a Christian. And when it comes as a Christian, you become to, look at verse 16, as suffering as a Christian. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And that's what he says there. He's talking about suffering. There's two types of suffering. Suffering that God puts you through, and suffering that you put yourself through. And looking now back in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he says this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And what's so good about that is this right here. When God puts you through something, there's a point to it. There's a reason for it. And you may not be able to see it when you're going through it. You may be dreading it when you see it coming. But when you're on the other side of it, when you look back, I'll guarantee you this, you'll realize it ain't just because he's just this mean old nasty master that you have, or he's just playing games with you or anything like that. There's nothing like that. God loves you. He's interested in you being a good Christian. He's interested in doing something for him. And when he puts you through something, there's a point to it. And one thing you can always realize when you suffer, one thing you can always be thankful for, is that you know that God's doing it for a reason. Now, here we go with the last four verses here of this book to finish this up. Verse 11. He says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So he's wrapping up the book right here. He's wrapping up these last few verses here, and there's not a whole lot you can say about this. He's just finishing up the book here, and I'm letting you know some things that he's glad of. But up here in verse 12, well, first of all, look at verse 11. Verse 11. In verse 10, he talks about Christ Jesus there. And in verse 11, he says to him, he's talking about Jesus Christ, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And when you look at these books in the Bible, when they begin to start off a book of the Bible, when they end a book of the Bible, they're always giving glory to Jesus Christ. And you need to always give glory to Jesus Christ. You need to realize where your strength comes from, where your power comes from. And a lot of times things seem redundant. A lot of times they seem like we're just going, it's just another cliche or something like that to give God the glory. But we need to go ahead and do it anyway. When you sing songs about Jesus Christ, you need to be remembering who you're singing about. You need to be giving him the glory. You know, people, I heard a guy say one time, they were talking about people in church and how they get excited over songs. And they said, you know, it's the same song every time. Why do they always get excited about the same song? When this, you know, he was talking about this one guy. Said, when this one song's sung, he always gets excited and he raises his hands. He's always excited. They said, I just don't understand that. I don't understand why somebody would do something like that. And they know going into it, this guy's going to act like this right here. Well, number one, there's nothing wrong with giving God the glory. I mean, you can do that, but people act like they don't understand stuff about Christianity. And the guy that I was hearing tell this story, he said, you know, there's a guy in our church who plays golf. And I don't know a whole lot about golf, but I know this much. You've got a certain amount of times you get to swing that club and get it in the hole. And if you get it there in less than those amount of times, that's a good thing. And if you get there less than that, it's called a birdie. And even less than that, it's called an eagle. And he said, you know, this guy's been playing golf his whole life. He said his whole life he's been playing golf. And he said he's like 70-something years old. He said, but you know what? Every time he got a birdie, he got excited. And he would say, woo, yeah, every time. And you'd say, well, he's done it before. Well, sure he has. But he still gets excited every time he gets a birdie. And people act like they don't understand things. They try to take us away from what the world is like, and they try to act like we're something different. And, you know, I've got kids, and they've all done different things in life. They've done things with school. They've done things in sports. They've done things in church. And you know what? When they do something that's extraordinary, I always get excited. I mean, there's been times, man, where they've been in basketball games and they come at the last second. I remember one time my little daughter Laura last year, the other team come down, scored, and went up by 1 point with about 4 seconds left to go in the game. They grabbed the ball, threw it to her. She dribbled all the way down the court, in and out. Everybody went in, shot a layup, buzzer went off, and they won the game. And I was, woo, yeah, I was excited. And one of those times, one of my daughters this year is on the end, is on the foul line with 1 second to go, game tied. All she had to do is hit one shot to win it. She choked. Missed both of them. I'm sitting over there, oh, man, you know. But I get excited about things like that. I get excited about when my kids get up here. I got excited when junior church was up here and they're going through those Bible verses. I get excited. I mean, I just get excited about things. And it's no different than the world. I get excited when things work out. If I'm at work and I think something's going to happen bad and things are going to mess up, I mean, you know what we do? If it turns out right, I get excited. They had a big meeting out there the other day. We had to come in early. I thought, oh, no, we're going to have another layoff. You know, here we go. You walk in there more, and they said, you know, we ain't had a raise out there in 5 years. And they sat down and said, they're changing the pay scale, and they gave everybody raises out there, man. I mean, there's some hooping and hollering going on. Some people got $2 an hour raise out there. I think, man, praise the Lord. And I get excited about those things. But you know what? All the stuff that goes on, everything that's good in my life, I can trace it back to one thing. You know what it is? It's God. Everything is God. It's all about Jesus. Anything that goes good in my life, it's about Jesus Christ. I was preaching over there the other night, and I was talking about the last 20 years since I met my wife. Since, you know, when I met my wife, I realized this. I'd went to church at the church that I used to go to, and I wasn't in church. I mean, I was saved. I wasn't wanting to do right, you know, and I'd live my life how I wanted to, and all of a sudden I started growing up, started realizing this life, that life I was living wasn't no good. And I went up to the pastor after church one night, and I asked him, I said, I want you to pray for me. And he said, I'll pray for you. And I think he was. I think he was praying for me. And I started remembering, you know what, I'm sick of this life. I want something different. It wasn't long after that I met my wife. And I got in church, and man, things changed. And I look back now in the last 20 years, and I think, man, what would my life be if there wasn't God? I mean, how would my life be different? How would my kids' lives be different? I mean, there's people's lives that I've touched in a good way in the last 20 years that's made a difference, and it's all glory and honor to Jesus Christ. The only reason, I was talking to one of my family members the other day, and we're sitting there talking, and it's hilarious when I look at my life. I think, and my life and my family, and I'll look back at my immediate family tree right through there from my grandma down, there's probably two people that ain't either divorced or been on drugs or in jail or in prison. And I think, what is the difference? And I mean, it ain't nothing about me. It's just, man, I got lucky to get in Trinity Baptist Church, and I got lucky that I met a girl that was interested in doing right. And when I got here, I looked at this thing, and you know what? I've just been, the word's been preached, the encouragement, the exhortation, the pushing you to do something for Jesus Christ. And I look back 20 years later, and I think, man, what a ride. And it's all about, I say lucky, it ain't got nothing to do with luck. It's got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. And when you sit here in this verse right here, and you say, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever, hey, man, I understand that. I understand that, and I do say it as a cliche sometimes, but sometimes we just need to sit down and say, you know what? God has changed my life, And you sit there, everybody's sitting there today. You can sit here and you can look at your life. You're sitting here this morning. You could be somewhere else today. Your life could have been different today. You could have went down a different path. Things could have not worked out with you. There's somebody that you know of that was close to you. I remember there was a friend I had. Me and him was going down the same road. And at the same time that I made the decision to try to do right, he didn't. He's lost everything he's got. He's lost a house. He's lost his family. He's lost jobs. He don't have any ambition in life anymore. He don't have nothing. And what's the difference? It ain't because I'm somebody. I ain't nobody. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of choosing Jesus Christ and giving Him your life. And man, I'll tell you, it's just a testimony to how great God is that He could even do something in spite of me. Because, I mean, I've fought Him tooth and nail all the way. I've messed up over and over. I've chose the wrong path. I'll tell you, I've made Him earn His keep with me. I can tell you that over the last 20 years. I'm a mess. And it's just to His glory and His honor. Now look at verse 12. That brings me to verse 12. In verse 12, He says this: "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you." Now, we read that, and we read these verses in the Bible about people in this Bible all the time. God makes statements about them. He'll say something about a person in the Bible, and he'll say something good, or he may say something bad. And this guy right here, this is Silas. There's just a different name there for Silas. It's called Silvanus. And what that is the transliteration of the word, of the Greek word. And I know I sound real smart right there saying that, but I'm not. I'm just repeating what somebody else told me. Transliteration, basically all that means is that you take like pharmacy. Pharmacy, the word pharmacy comes from pharmakia, and they just transliterate it. They just take the same letters and just pronounce them with English. That's transliterating something. It's the same word, and you just read it. And some words they have in Greek, they make a different name for it. In English, there's a different name for it. So, and what that is, Silvanus there, is just transliterated there from the Greek word, and Silas is just another name for it. And so this is talking about Silas. talking about Silas there, and it says this: "By Silvanus," what it is, you've got this letter that Peter's written. And he's written this letter, and he's given it to Silvanus here, Silas, and Silas has brought it to him. And so they're saying it's by Silas. But what he says is he's a faithful brother. Get 2 Timothy chapter 2 and get Proverbs chapter 22. Second Timothy chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 22. We talk about this thing about a name and about what kind of name you have. And there was a time listening to older people speak, they talk about a name and their last name meant something. And when you talked about the last name and of a family, they wanted to honor their family name to have an honor to it. If you go over to the mall in Knoxville, or go to different places, you can get a certificate there, and it tells you what your name, where it came from, and the different people through your lineage, and what that name was, and you know you may have a family crest and all this stuff about a name, and there's something about that thing you can look at it and you read down through there, boy, and you think, man, what a blessing, you know. I came from this line of people, or this right here. In the old days, people, there was something about a name. They didn't want people to mess their name up. They'd go pay their bills. They paid their bills on time because they didn't want somebody to think bad of their name, and that was a good thing. And when it comes to Christians, though, you know what we're doing? When we're out there and we're living our life as a Christian, whose name are we representing? We're representing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we forget about things like that. And we forget that the fact that God's interested in His name being clean. He's interested in His name standing for something. He don't like it when Christians get out there and muddy up His name. He don't like that. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." So you ain't going to get saved and then pretend like, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to. I'm going to do what I want to do. If you're saved, God knows who you are. He knows who you are, and He expects this right here out of you. Look at the rest of the verse. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And you need to depart from iniquity if you name the name of Christ. If you've ever been saved, you know what God expects out of you other than anything else. I mean, we preach a whole lot of things in church, and you know, you have to preach them. You have to constantly get in there. But I know this much. God says this. If you're saved, He says, anyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. He don't want His name muddied up. And when it talks about His name, you know what He does? He upholds His name. He thinks there's a lot to Him. He likes Him. He likes God. And He thinks a lot of God. And He should, because God's holy. And you know, people start talking about the Word of God. God's magnified His Word above His own name. According to Psalm 138, He's magnified His Word above His own name. You ought to make much of the Word of God, because He does. He magnified it above His own name. But this is for sure here, that if you're saved, that you need to depart from iniquity. Now look over at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 22 verse 1. Proverbs 22 verse 1. The Bible says this: "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." And we read a verse like that. We say, "Amen, brother, amen. You think about your name." But honestly, you think about what that verse says. I mean, great riches? That's a lot of money when you think about great riches. You know, I mean, you think, would you rather have a good name or would you rather have $2 million? I've done my name bad a lot worse for than $2 million, I can tell you that. But that ain't the way God thinks. That ain't the way the Holy Spirit thinks. He says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. And there's it don't matter who you are. Some people just ain't going to like you. They're going to make up things about you, and they're going to say bad things about you. And you don't need to pay attention to people like that. And then there's some people that like you no matter what you do. And they're going to like you and think good of you no matter what you do. I mean, we've got people that we'll talk bad about all these. We talk bad about Lane Kiffin. We drove Lane Kiffin in the ground. All these infractions he had with the NCAA, man, and we're ready to kill him. I mean, we'd put him on a cross and crucify him if we could, Tennessee Vol fans. And then Bruce Pearl does something wrong, and we're all like, "Well, you know, Bruce Pearl, you know." You say, "Why would we treat Bruce Pearl like?" Because we like him. We like Bruce Pearl, man. He's winning ball games. We hate to lose. And the point is, people that like you, they're going to say good things about you no matter what happens. People that don't like you, don't matter how good. Lane Kiffin can go out there. He could get saved, become a Bible believer, lead his team to the Lord, win a national championship, and we still hate him. So he don't need to listen to Tennessee fans. But you know what? There's a group of people that don't know you one way or the other. And they have an ideal about you. They have a thought about you. You've created a reputation with some people. They've seen you. They don't have a dog in a fight. It's not that they like you, and it's not that they don't like you. You don't need to pay attention to people. You know, your mom and dad's gonna talk good about you. I mean, you can go out there and throw 17 interceptions in a ball game. You can go out there, you know, you can bowl a gutter ball every time, and mom and dad's gonna say, "Well, that's all right. You're doing it. You're doing good." You know, mom and dad's always, don't pay attention to mom and dad. They're always going to build you up like you're good. Grandma and grandpa's always going to talk good about you no matter what. You know, take it with a grain of salt. You got some people, no matter what you do, you can't please them. Take it with a grain of salt what they say about you. But the 80% of the other people in the world that know you, that think something about you, you better listen to what they're saying, because they know you. And the way you act and what you do and what you say every day in your life, It's going to depend on what they think about you. And the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. God's interested in you having a good name. I remember 16, 17 years ago, I got out of church and for about 4 months. And what it was is I got called to preach. I've told you before, I didn't want to do it. It wasn't no fun. I didn't enjoy it. I thought, it's too hard. It's too hard to do right. It's too hard to play this game. I don't want to do it. And so I didn't. Well, when the Lord, you know, whipped me and got me back in church, I had developed a reputation. And I remember a guy coming up to me, and he said this. He said, "I was talking to so-and-so the other day and mentioned about you preaching or something." This was probably about 6 months after I got back in church. And he said, this guy said, "I know him. His testimony's full of holes. I ain't got nothing for him." And at first it made me mad. I thought, who's this guy? Ain't even going to church. he's been cheating on his wife. I mean, I'm going through this thing. I'm thinking, who does this guy think he is? And I mean, I was mad. And the Lord told me this. He said, Jack, regardless of what he's thinking, he's right. Your testimony's full of holes. And you talk about hard to take. When you do wrong and you develop a reputation, it's easy to get pride with somebody that's, you know, that you can look at and you can shoot holes in their testimony or whatever it is, and they look at you and they look down on you. It's easy to defend yourself. It's easy to try to sit back and say, well, this and this and this. You know, and it was hard. It was hard to get back up behind a pulpit and preach. It was hard to stand up in this church and ask you for forgiveness. It was hard to do a whole lot of stuff. But one of the hardest things that was for me was to accept the fact that I created that reputation. And the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And you are producing a name out there in the community. And like I said, you know, some people they ain't know what matter what you do, they're going to look at the bad side. Don't worry about them. Now, there's some people going to talk good about you no matter what you do. Don't worry about them. But you need to pay attention to what people say about you. You know, you need to say, oh, I just ain't worried about nobody thinks about me. You ought to be. Sure. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I remember when I was in Bible school down there, turn back to, go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. When I was in Bible school, Brother Donovan had preached at a prison in New York, at Attica Prison. And he was talking about a fellow there that had got saved in prison and he was trying to do right, and he was a murderer. And he began to correspond with Brother Donovan through letters, and Brother Donovan tried to would write him letters and try to disciple him through letters there. And the guy was growing. He was doing real good. And as far as I know, he's still doing good. I don't know. But I remember this. Brother Donovan took a trip while I was in school to New York, and he'd been having these letters. He wanted to see if this guy was for real or not. This guy probably wasn't ever getting out of prison. And but what he did is he went up there and he ordained this guy. He ordained him. His name was David Edwards. And he said, Brother Donovan loved this guy. And he really did good. And he said, but the thing that, Brother Donovan said, the thing I remember is him saying, when he went up there to ordain him, or a little bit of time before that, when he's talking about being ordained, he said, when I die, he said with tears, he said, I don't want to be remembered as a murderer. He said, I want to be remembered as a Christian. The Bible says a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. And right here in verse 12, 1 Peter 5:12, the Bible says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. That's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about a guy that's faithful. And it's hard to be faithful. It's hard to sit down and do the things that you're supposed to do every day that you know you're supposed to do. When he sits down here and he says this guy's a faithful brother, now, he's just not throwing words out there. This ain't somebody that's going to hit and miss for church. This ain't somebody that, you know, when you call them up, say, we got this going on, can you help us? Well, brother, I'd rather not do it this week. I got this. This guy's faithful. This guy is somebody that he has put his time, he's put his effort, he's sacrificed, he's been on the front lines with Peter, side by side, fighting the fight of faith. And he ain't quit for nothing. And when he throws this out there and he says a faithful brother, he means it. And Silas was a faithful brother. And I want you to look at some things here. Let's look at some people in the Bible here as we finish up this chapter. And before we start looking at these people in the Bible, I want to ask you a question. There's a lot of different things that can define you in the Bible. And I'm just going to throw out some names here that's in the Bible, some adjectives that describe people. And you make it fit where you think it should fit. Here's some words. A busybody. Would that define you? Would other people think, oh, I know him, I know her. They're just always in the middle of other people's business. A sower of discord. Does that define you? Hateful. Proud. Backbiter. Those are the things there. Those are some words that define people in Scripture. And then there's some other words like courteous. Lover of God. Kind. Pure. Young kids, pure. Purity, boys and girls, purity. And you think about words like that, and you know what? People that know you, they've got words like that. Don't you use words like that for other people? You know people, and you say, I know so-and-so. Oh, they're just a busybody. They're just a sower of discord. They're always in the mill trying to stir something up. And there's some people in this Bible that God talked good about, had good definitions for their name. And there's some people in here that, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He didn't. Let's look at some of them. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And remember, this ain't somebody else talking about these people. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the Holy Spirit talking about these people, giving them these definitions for their names. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, look at verse 22. Acts 11, 22. Bible says this. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Look what it says about Barnabas. For he was a good man. A good man. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. And we talk about, when you ever told somebody, say, well, I know so-and-so, he's a good man. The Bible says ain't no man good. And there's none good, no, not one. Well, Barnabas was a good man. The Bible said he was. And when it says there's none good, the context is talking about righteousness. Talking about being perfect. Now, there's some good men in this world. And Barnabas, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was called a good man. And it says, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Well, that's a good testimony right there. A good name's rather be chosen than great riches. And you look at a man like Barnabas. I mean, him and Paul got into it. But you know what God said about him? He's a good man. Ain't that something? Wouldn't you like for God, being at the judgment seat of Christ, and they call your name up and him say, here's so-and-so, he was a good man. If God calls you a good man, that means something. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. This guy right here quit on God. His name's John Mark. He quit. He was a quitter. He's a quitter on God. But you know what? By the end of his life, he'd changed that testimony. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Look what it says. Verse 11, there's two guys here that you learn something about. Mark and Luke. Look what he says, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. And take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable me for the ministry. That's a quitter. That's a guy that got in the ministry and decided he didn't want to do nothing for God. And it was too hard, or I don't know what he decided. But whatever reason, he turned his back and quit. And by the end of his life, he's Paul sitting there. Paul's the guy that him and Barnabas got in a fight over. This is the guy that Barnabas and Paul got in a fight over. Barnabas was wanting to take him back, and Paul says, I ain't taking that quitter nowhere. Forget him. I'm getting stoned out there, and this guy's running for the hills. He can stay. And Barnabas says, I'm taking him. And they split. That's how Silas got in the picture. And that's Mark. You know what? It don't ever say anything about Mark saying, well, Paul, you is a blasphemer. You used to do this. Mark did. He took it. Why? Because it's the truth. And that's the hardest thing to do when you mess up, is to be honest about it and say, I'm a blasphemer, or I'm a quitter. But you can't quit there. And the Bible says Mark, what does it say about Mark? It says he's profitable. What does it say about Luke right there? It says he's loyal. It says only Luke is with me. Man, old Paul had a way when he wrote letters, buddy. He let people know what was going on, didn't he? You didn't want to mess up, man, if he was working for Paul. He'd get the newspapers. He'd tell everybody. He'd write letters about you. He'd send out sermons, man. He'd preach messages about you. And you know what? Here he is at the end of his life, and you know what he says about Luke? Only Luke is with me. It was Luke. Luke was loyal. I mean, Luke was a loyal person. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 4. Show you somebody else. People that we just read over and we don't even think a lot about what God's saying about them. We're looking for the great nuggets in the Bible, you know, and we pass right over stuff that could help us practically every day. You know, you think about John. I mean, what was John's testimony? The disciple whom Jesus loved? What a testimony. You don't just get that testimony by just saying, I'm a Bible-believing 1611 King James Bible believing and roving your Bible around like that. He earned that title. Yeah. He earned it. Why? because he loved the Lord. You can't outgive God. You agree with that? You can't outgive God. And if you're loving God and you love him more than anybody else, and he's got to outgive you, that means he's got to love you more than you love him. You know what I think about John? I think he loved the Lord more than anybody did. I think he was just there, man, and he loved God, and he stuck with God, and he was there. He was with him. He earned that title. It wasn't just something flippant we throw out today. We just throw titles out today. We talk about people being good or bad, and we throw stuff out. It's the Holy Spirit. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at Epaphroditus here. You know, you say, who? Look at Philippians. Get Philippians 2 and Philippians 4. Look at Philippians 4 first. This is what he says about him. Philippians 4:18. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full. This is Paul talking. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And Epaphroditus there was a deliverer. He was sending some stuff. You know what he was? He was a giver. He was a giver. Look over at Philippians chapter 2 and see what it says about him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Philippians 2:25. He says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor. See right there what he says? He's my companion in labor and fellow soldier. Now, Paul, I mean, you see how Paul talks. I mean, if you mess up, he's on you. So when he's giving out compliments, you need to pay attention to it. Yeah. This guy was an upstanding guy. He was a giver. I mean, he was a fellow soldier. He was a companion in the work. I mean, he wasn't just saying, yeah, we need to do this, bless God. He was out there in the middle of it doing it. And he says, but your messenger, he was a messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Look what it says about him. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. And he was worried about them. They heard that he heard that they knew he was sick, and he was yearning for them because they was worried about him being sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. What's Paul saying? He said, I didn't want to lose this guy. Man, God had mercy on him, that he let him live. Not just him, God had mercy on me. I didn't want to get rid of this guy. I mean, is that the type of guy you are for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, you sit there, could the Holy Spirit say about you that you're a fellow laborer, you're a companion in labor, you're a fellow soldier? And I mean, if you was out of the ministry, if you was out of a church service, if Trinity Baptist Church lost you, could the Holy Spirit say about you, there's going to be sorrow because of how much you got going on, how much you do? Is that your name? That's all I'm talking about. The Bible says a great name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Epaphroditus goes on to say, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness. And look what he says about him. And hold such in reputation. Man, old Paul thought a lot of him, didn't he? Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service. Woo! Because you all were falling short. This guy's about dead because you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. Man, now where do you... Are you with the Philippians? Are you Epaphroditus in that story right there? He said, this guy's nigh unto death because you all are fat, happy, and don't care nothing about God. I may be adding a little to that, but that's kind of what he's saying. To supply your lack of service toward me. That's why on over there in Philippians chapter 4, he says, hey, y'all brought me some stuff. I'm happy. Y'all did good. Sent it by Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus had a good name. Look at Ephesians 6. Get Ephesians 6:21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. You know what I wish people could say about me? Is that I'm a faithful minister. That'd mean a lot to me. I may not be the best preacher in the world. I am not the best preacher in the world. I am not the best assistant pastor in the world. I'm not the best husband. I'm not the best father. But I'll tell you what I would like is for people to think that I'm faithful. I wish that people thought, you know what? When it comes to Jack, he has got a lot of problems. But he's going to be there. He's going to do what he needs to do. He's going to do that. He'll be there. He'll show up. He'll do what he's supposed to do. He's faithful. And I'd really like that. That right there is a big deal. Tychicus, a faithful minister. You know, I was thinking about that testimony about being a quitter. I remember being down there in Florida, and there's been times in my life, boy, when things have got tough, and the only thing keep me going is I didn't want people to think I was a quitter. I'll tell you, hold your place there. You know, I guess your life verse changes through time. Different verses mean something different to you at different times. But this verse right here, this is, if somebody wants me to give them a verse, this is it. I'll read it to you, Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I just want to finish. Tychicus was a faithful minister. Look at Romans 16. Get Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 1. A lady named Phoebe. What's it say about Phoebe? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. She's a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer, that's a helper, of many, and of myself also. And you talk about this lady named Phoebe. I mean, you know what he's saying? He's talking about what kind of business she had. What was her business? It sure wasn't getting in everybody else's business, I can tell you that. It was her business. Her business was to be a helper, to be an assistant. It says that she was a secure. She was a helper of many and a helper of Paul. That was her testimony. You know, and when you look at these people, I was talking to somebody the other day about George Mueller. What we do is we hold George Mueller up there on a pedestal. And we look at him, and we think, man, people need to be like George Mueller. And what they do, they start their life out, and their life is to try to be like George Mueller. George Mueller didn't set out for his life to be George Mueller. If he come back today and read some of these books about him, you know what he'd do? He'd say, man, I'd like to be like that guy. They just did what they were supposed to do, and it happened. They earned it. They didn't set out to have a name like that. That wasn't their goal. Their goal was to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what he wanted them to do. Phoebe right here, she ain't thinking, well, if Paul ever writes a book in the Bible, he's going to put me in there because I'm a helper and that's why I'm... You know what she did? She was doing what she thought God wanted her to do. And that's what you got to do. You got to find your place in line, find your place in the battle, find your place, find your slot, just figure out what it is, write it down and say, this is what God wants me to do, and be faithful to do it. And he's saying, you know what she was? She was a helper. That's Phoebe. Look at Aquila and Priscilla there. I ain't got the verse wrote down, but over there that talks about, that says they had a church in their house. You know what it said about them? They were church planters. They were interested in getting churches started to help people. You know, if you get a church started, you say, what can happen if you get a church started? Well, so many years ago, somebody started this church. What's happened? People's got saved. Missionaries have been supported. Missionaries been called. People's been called to preach out of it. People's been helped. Family's been put back together. I think it's a pretty good thing to start a church, don't you? And there's churches all over the places all over this country and here in America that need churches started. Aquila and Priscilla, that was their testimony. They were church planters. All right, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, don't take those names lightly. That's the Holy Spirit talking. And don't take these names lightly. This is the Holy Spirit talking. The Holy Spirit's leading these people to write Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 11, we looked at Luke and Mark. Look down at verse 14. Look what it says. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. You know what he did? He earned that. He was evil. He was evil. He earned it. Alexander the coppersmith. You want to know who he's going to go down as? He's going to go down like Benedict Arnold. That's who he's going to go down like. Benedict Arnold. Ain't nobody going to name their kid Benedict Arnold. Alexander the coppersmith. I mean, he went down and he's down in the Bible. Everybody that's ever read the Bible's read that right there. Alexander the coppersmith. did me much evil. Golly. After Paul died, what if that dude got right? Oh, man. There you are the rest of your life. It's there. You standing up reading.
Alexander Cobbs, man, did me much evil.
He don't even want to read that verse. I mean, that he earned it. He earned that reputation. Look at, go to 3 John. 3 John and get Colossians chapter 1. Go to 3 John, right before Jude, right before Revelation. Now, Colossians chapter 1 and 3 John. Colossians chapter 1, let me show you something about Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18. This is what it says about Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence. Jesus Christ deserves the preeminence. 3 John, look at verse 9. A guy named Diotrephes, whatever. 3 John, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. There's people in Baptist churches like that today. Diotrephes. You know what they want? They want the preeminence. They want it to be all about them. Something's going on? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'm the one that paid for the gas for them. They'll go street preaching. They want the preeminence. If they don't get recognized, if they don't get somebody talk to them, pat them on the back, tell them they're doing a good job, they get mad. And what do? They start backbiting. Start malicious words. Diotrephes. Diotrephes. That's another name that you can earn. That's what Diotrephes earned, that he was somebody that wanted preeminence. And who's supposed to get the preeminence? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people say, what's the big deal about clapping? What's the big deal about clapping? That right there is what's the big deal about clapping. Yep. They can say all they want to about their clapping for the Lord and all that stuff. Then why do you got to do it after a song? Clap for the Lord before they sing. Clap for the Lord when you're at home. They don't. When do they clap? After somebody gets done singing. Why? Because it's entertainment. They're clapping for that person. They're sitting there, they get done singing, they sit there and they grab that microphone and they're all... Woo! And they start clapping for the Lord. Lord ain't in all that stuff. Man, you see somebody get up here, boy, and they sing for the Lord. And they're doing it right. They're doing it the right way. And there's people singing and praising the Lord back in the pews. And they're sitting there. They're pointing to the sky. They're giving glory to God. That's giving God the preeminence. It ain't none of that crap on TV. It ain't none of that stuff. It ain't none of that junk. You know, anybody that's been in the world, that comes out of the world and gets in that right there, they know what that is. People that want to get out of the world and want to get into something real, as soon as they see that junk, you know what they do? They think, this ain't real. This ain't no different than what I was in. They want something real. Talking about preeminence. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll finish. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to get on American Idol. Woo! Did you get all that, Mike? Moonwalking. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 10. The Bible says this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." You know, there's places in the Bible that talks about Demas. It says, "Demas greeteth you." Demas was evidently in good standing with Paul. But at the end of his life, he wasn't. And you know what? Don't say that Demas started drinking and going to bars. They don't say that. It said he went to Thessalonica. You know what's in Thessalonica? There's some churches. He may have been going to church. He may have just said, you know what? I'm tired of sacrificing. There's a whole lot this world's got to offer that I want to enjoy. And he may be sitting in church every day, living his life the way he wants to live it. There may have been a time when he was giving everything to God, doing right, but he decided, you know what? I want to start spending my money on other things. I want to start spending my time on other things. And he forsook God, but he's still in church every day. He's still trying to live like he's a Christian. He's still trying to do those things. And boy, I'll tell you this, though. I bet there's times when that preacher comes and opens this Word of God, and he's talking about through there, and he's saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and that guy's backslid, and he's forsook the Lord. That's hitting his heart, and he can't hardly stand it. Because I know how the Holy Spirit works. That conviction gets on people. And over there in 1 Peter, go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you." When you read those things in the Bible from now on, instead of just blowing by them, just ask yourself what kind of name you got. What's your name? What's your name? You know, a name used to stand for something. The Bible says, "If any man name the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity." The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I suppose now then, after this book here, Brother Dibble will be starting another book. I don't know which one it is, but next Sunday he'll be back. I appreciate y'all listening to me and hanging in there with me and putting up with me. I've enjoyed teaching 1 Peter, and I don't know where I'll be next time. Might be 2 Peter or somewhere else, but I appreciate it. All right, let's take a break. Woo!
Smart, Alex.
Woo!